Hey, everyone out there in podcast land. I got another episode for you of FT After Hours coming up here in just a couple minutes. Try to keep this short and sweet. I don't want to bore you too much. Just wanted to reiterate a couple things. If you guys are really liking this and digging it, man, spread the word. Get it out there. Tell your friends, your neighbors, your flying buddies, anybody else who you think might listen. We're really enjoying doing it. I'd actually like to get more content out there and maybe do some more stuff for you. But we got to get it out there. We got to get it growing a little bit. Austin keeps telling me how important it is to rate it on iTunes. So if you guys are listening on iTunes, if you can kind of remember before or after you're listening, go in there and rate this thing. Tell us what you think. We'd love to get it up there and do a little more stuff for you. So again, just spread the word. If you like it, tell everybody about it, and we'll try to keep this thing going for you. In this podcast, Wayne and I sit down and we review the new Park Zone Sport Cub that just came out a couple weeks ago. I tried to get it out on the last one, but I didn't feel we had enough time on it. So I wanted to do a couple more things with it. Did a lot of flying with it, actually. Actually had Pat Humbert and Mike Coolins flying it and tried to get them in the studio, but again, we just had some schedule conflictions, and I really didn't want to wait too much longer. I wanted to try to get this thing out there for you. My goal is hopefully we're going to get some of the newer stuff in early. I know we got a pre-release of the Park Zone Sukhoi sitting out there, so I'd like to get my hands on that. Maybe get another podcast review of that out there for you guys. That way, you know, before when these products just come out, you can already kind of know about them and get our feelings and everything from them, and might, you know, sway you one way or the other or help you make a choice on what you guys are looking for. So, all right, I'll quit babbling and let you guys get to listening to the podcast. Let us know what you think. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of FT After Hours. Ah, what a crazy week it's been, but we are back in the studio again for an exciting podcast. I think this week we're going to be reviewing the new Park Zone Sport Cub that just come out a couple weeks ago, and me and you have got some time on this baby.
Yep, that
and,
was fun.
We put it through the paces. There I go again. And we're going to do a review for you. But first of all, actually, just in the studio today, it's me, Chris, and I have Wayne Griffith back in the studio. We were planning on having Pat and Mike back in, but some things come up, and they weren't able to make it. But, hey, I've been getting some emails. A lot of you have been asking for the live podcast, live feed, even like doing some more of the phone call stuff and everything. And I'm going to pull the curtain back here a little bit, and I'll just kind of give you a little explanation of kind of what's been going on and what we're working on and everything. So just you guys have kind of an idea what's going on and what we're working on and things we're trying to do. Now, just from my perspective, when I really wanted to get into doing the podcast, my big thing was doing a live podcast, taking live phone calls, and, you know, talking with you listeners and getting you involved in this. Now, we found out pretty quick through all this that it was a lot tougher than I imagined, you know, getting into the phone systems and everything. So as you guys know, you know, we tried the Blog Talk Radio a few times, and it kind of worked here and there. So we wanted to move on and maybe take questions and answers and do just a live podcast and go through Twitter or some kind of messaging service. Now, the problem we're having here is, let's back up just a little bit. When I started out and we were going to do this, originally we were going to have myself, Wayne, and Alex in the studio, and we're going to leave the fourth mic open. Whoever wanted to come in, I was hoping to have some different people in. And as you know, a lot of things change here at Flight Test, and things got, you know, changed around. So with David being gone and Chad doing some different things, they were kind of short. So Alex kind of moved into the regular Flight Test podcast. So he's been doing that. which is not a big deal. I don't blame him one bit. Plus, you know, we were keeping him after work and everything. So I was trying to get some different guests in here. The problem, one person really was on my list was Eric Monroe, but in case you guys don't know, he runs his own business called Shadow Studios, and the guy is super busy. We had him in here once, and we were working on trying to get him in here a couple other times and everything, but the guy's just busy. So we're moving on. We're trying to find some other people to get in here. The problem is it's not just with them, it's also with me, because in case you don't know, you know, Wayne and I, we all work real full-time jobs. So, you know, between and I'm in the construction business, I'm not going to lie to you or anything, so I work crazy hours, especially in the summertime, and a lot of times it's really hard. Now the goal is, and I'm not saying this isn't going to happen. I mean, we still want to, you know, work this out. The guys at Flight Test and everything, they're listening and they're working on things, and they're working on a new studio right now that Wayne's sitting here trying to work out, because I'm computer illiterate, as most of you probably know by now. But the goal is, I'm hoping down the road that we can work something out, that we're in here on a specific night. I would love to do it every week. Right now, you know, we're alternating, but if we're in here in a specific night every week at the same time, I think it would be a lot easier for us to do some kind of live feed and take some questions and answers. And again, the guys are working on something. But the problem for us in the After Hours podcast right now is with us full-time jobs, other things going on, kids in sports and everything. It's really tough for us to pick a day and get in here at the same time all the time and sit down and do a podcast. I love doing the podcast, guys. Trust me. If there was any way I could just do this full time, you guys would probably get sick of me. So I just wanted to throw that stuff out there and let you know what's going on. We're still working on things. So hopefully down the road, we can get a date set. We can come in here and sit down and talk on a weekly basis and get you guys involved with this podcast. That's my ultimate goal. So we're working on it. Be patient. I'm realizing real quick that, you know, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. I thought I'd just jump right in here and I was going to do this and do this and do that. And I'm finding out that it doesn't work that way. So, but we're working on it. And I greatly appreciate you guys listening. I've been getting new followers every week. The emails are coming in, the tweets. So I love it. Keep doing it. Keep it up. And as long as you guys are out there supporting us, I'm going to keep doing this. If I got to be down here at 12 o'clock at night, and if I got to drag Wayne out of bed, I'll have him in here. But I appreciate Wayne coming in here. He puts up with a lot from me, and I drag him down here a lot. So that's what's kind of going on. So moving along, and I promise this will get better. I just wanted to go through a few things here. Emails. I just kind of briefed over the live podcast and everything. The other thing that really surprised me, Wayne, is I got quite a few emails. We talked a little bit about DLGs.
Oh, yeah.
On the last podcast. And I'm surprised we got quite a few guys that's, you know, because of us, went and purchased one or is looking to buy one and, you know, want to get into it. So, you know, we actually did some flying for Father's Day and we had the DLG. So I was trying to think, and maybe you can think of just a few little tips for guys starting out. And I think the first one I kind of figured out, now these are just my opinions. Obviously, I am not a professional by any means with these DLGs. We're still learning.
We are not David.
Yes, we are still learning, and every time we go out, I learn something new or figure something out, and I'm sure you've been the same way.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the first thing, what you need to do when you get out is learn to throw. Figure out the throw and work on the throw, because I'm finding out real quick that altitude is your friend.
Yep.
The other little tip, I think, and see if you agree with this, is there's going to be days where it's really good and you're going to be like, this is the best thing in the world and it can't get any better than this. And there are going to be some days where you will throw and throw and throw till you're exhausted and ready to fall down. And, you know, you're not going to get much, and it's kind of beats you down a little bit, you know. Yeah. So I think you just got to stick with it. But I think the important thing is to work on your throw. you know, get some altitude. What any tips that you can think of off the top of your head?
The biggest thing is watching how you throw, especially the guys that are going straight into the minis. You know, there is a very easy, you just want to walk up and just chuck it with your arm. Well, it works with the mini, but you do not want to do that with the full-size DLG. Right. So like David said, if you start out with the mini DLG, you have a habit of throwing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a bad habit to break when you move into the full-size DLG, because you're using your whole body. You're using momentum. If you're throwing it with your arm, you'll know, because it will hurt. And you won't get the height either. So.
Right.
Unfortunately, with the mini, I do notice I can do that, where you can just walk up and chuck that thing and start flying. So that's just something we're going to have to watch, especially with the new guys coming in that want to learn this.
Yeah,
with the minis.
I agree with that. And you know, and also David did a video on flight test with it. So, you know, and there's many other videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I've watched a million of them, you know, trying it. And the other thing that helped me out is one day we were out and you recorded my throw.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it over and over and, you know, looked at my feet, you know, see where my steps were, how my arm was, and the placement of everything. And I think that helped me out too. So I think that's the number one thing, you know, really work on your throw and get it up there. Then once you get it up to altitude, you know, you can work on flying the DLG and learning it. You know, each one, as we're finding out, is completely different. Whether you're flying the Predator or the Elf, they're totally different.
Yes.
So just that's just a couple tips I figured I'd throw out for you guys that are wanting to get in there and give it a shot. But I'm telling you, when you do get it up there and you do a little ridge soaring off of a hill or catch a little bubble or something, it is exhilarating. It is unbelievable.
Man.
And it's like the high of the day. You know, you grin for the rest of the day. So, well, all right.
Yeah, the first few times through the Predator, I was lucky. It was throw it, land it, throw it, land it.
Yeah, and
you got to fly it.
Yeah.
But that one time I was down Chad's, and I chucked it up there, and I caught some air, and I was probably up for about 5 minutes. And I tell you what, there was nothing greater than, I mean, my heart jumped right up in my throat.
Right.
And, I mean, I am just giddy. And, unfortunately, the problem was you weren't there. Nobody was there. I'm standing there. I was like, this thing is staying up.
I know, and that's almost worst thing when something like that happens and there's nobody around to share it with. Yeah, I've been there many times myself with the Elf. So, all right, guys, we won't drag you into that too much. We're hoping to get maybe a LaBelle or something in here, and then we can maybe do a whole podcast on beginner DLGs and getting started and do a review on it. So we won't drag you into that too much. The other couple things I just wanted to mention real quick, too. I get a lot of email and stuff from our favorite Canadian, Andre Russo. He's a clever, funny guy, and I love looking at his tweets and seeing the things. And he's been getting into FPV.
Oh, fun.
And he's got a tricopter. And if you haven't seen this, Wayne, you got to look it up. One of the grub screws came loose on the motor, and he was out in this big field. And the motor just literally flew off. Well, we screen cap part of the video, and it actually shows the motor in coming off, and it's in the air, you know, as he's crashing, and you see the motor falling to the ground. So, but he's a good sport about it. He loves it. He's diving, you know, head into it. So I love to hear from him.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's really good. A couple other things I just wanted to mention before we get into this review. As you guys probably know, I've been wanting a ultra micro carbon cub for quite a while, and ended up getting one about 3 months ago. But I haven't really had that much time to fly it. So actually, the last few nights, and I'll tell you why I'm talking about this anyway. But when I first flew it, first few times, it was like I didn't really like it, and it kind of brought me back to the. When we talked about you get an airplane, you fly a little bit and you're like, I'm not really sure if I like this thing, you know, but I'm sticking with it. I've been flying it quite a bit. And now me and I don't know, I'm just crazy weird. I don't know what it is, but I started adding little mixes in with it, quite a few. I got a little mix with the throttle of down elevator. Obviously I got the ailerons and elevator mix in it now. A couple other goofy mixes in there with the flaps, obviously. I got elevator. So now I'd say after probably, 12, maybe not even quite 15 flights, I love it.
Very good.
I mean, I flew it the other night after we got done flying there and cranked around the house, and it's got the lights on it, and it was at dusk, and I was doing touch and goes with it, and the thing flies beautiful. But again, it took me, you know, those 10 flights to like, okay, I flew it once. I'm like, eh. Actually, after the first time, I put it back in the box, and I didn't pull it out for quite a while. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I know this plane's good. I know I'm going to like it. I just got to work with it a little bit. It didn't meet my expectations right at first, but I knew it could be good. So now, after working with it a little bit, you know, it works great. But the bad thing was, when I was done the other night, I was in a hurry. I was trying to get the battery undone, and I was reaching in there, and I was holding it by the battery wire, and I thought I had the wire going to the ESC, and when I unplugged it, I had the battery wire. Well, it came right on my hands, aiming for the ground. I went to catch it, and I smashed the whole tail. I mean, just completely crunched it like an accordion. So I was all bummed out about that. So I thought I'd share that story. I don't know if anybody's ever done that before, I'm like, you're such an idiot. What do you do? You know, why would you even do that? And then you think you're in a hurry, you know. But anyway, it was just one little thing I thought, you know, we talked about when you get a plane and you don't like it at first, and then you tinker around with it or modify it or do whatever, and then, you know, ends up being your favorite plane.
Very good.
I just wanted to mention real quick, too, you know, we were out flying for Father's Day. And I had the Mystique out. You had the Radiant out. And it was a weird day because it was hot.
Yeah.
Not a lot of wind.
No.
But we had the big cirrus clouds, like, way up there. And we were thinking, we're not going to get anything today. Maybe a few little thermals here and there. And it was very strange because down low, there was nothing.
No.
You know, we had nothing with the DLGs but basically sank. I mean, whatever that wind was doing that day, it was beating the DLGs right into the ground. But as we got higher, you know, 500-600 feet, there was some pretty big booming thermals.
Right.
And we caught one that was just now I have an altimeter built in and the telemetry in my Mystique. So I think I started out somewhere around 500, 550 feet, and we went right over the school roof, and I caught it quick. I actually seen the wingtip dip up, and I was like, whoa, there's something there, and started circling in it. And before I knew it, I was up like 1,000 feet, and then before I knew it after that, I was up like 1,200, 1,300. I think I got up to 1,400 feet, somewhere right around there. And then I got nervous because the Mystique with 114-inch wingspan, you know, was looking like a speck of salt up there, or a speck of sand. I'll tell you what, that's probably the most nervous I have been. I literally got the Wayne shakes on the radio. You know, I was like, spoilers up. You know, I'm watching the altimeter. I'm trying to nose it down, and the thing had a hard time coming down out of that thermal. I think by the time we got to that altitude, that thermal was so big and wide, you know, you really had to fly all the way down the field, which I didn't want to do because then it would have even been farther away and a smaller speck. I'll tell you what, I was nervous. And even you, you had to be right up there around with me because, I don't know if your eyes are better, but I was trying to look at your radiant. I couldn't tell you which direction you were going. I couldn't tell you if you were upside down.
Yeah.
I mean, that was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, you just learned not to blink.
Oh.
And the thing is with the solid blue sky, you had to keep an eye. There was no clouds for it to shadow
or
anything.
That's the problem. You're exactly right. Yeah, with a clear sky like that, it is terrible to see them things way up there. So that was probably the biggest thing we had that day that was rather interesting. I mean, we literally, or at least I did anyway, I got down on the ground and just kind of sat there for a few minutes and just decompressed from all that. It was it was rather crazy. All right, enough about that. We'll get off that. Let's see. Just a couple things I got on the list for products-wise. I'm kind of excited about this. Hobby King just come out with the Quantum FPV goggles. Now, why I'm excited about this, and I don't know if you remember this. I would say it might have been a year ago, Wayne. I think I sent you some YouTube links of these FPV goggles where they had a small monitor mounted into like a styrofoam frame. I don't know. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah.
And I guess these have been in Europe for quite a while. Now, not the whole goggle system, but just the foam part, and then you buy the monitor and you fit it in there. And I've seen them, in Europe, and I've seen them on some websites in Europe, but nothing over here. Well, what Hobby King has done is they've made the whole package. They've got the monitor, the kit, the strap,
the Fresno stake and change.
Yes, for your the focus, mm-hmm. and it's all one kit. And here's the great thing. It's $30.
Yep.
I mean, how can you beat that? Even if it's not the, you know, obviously it's not going to be the very best. But for anybody, I think, like me, especially because I'm cheap and I don't want to spend the $350, $400 on FPV goggles right yet for myself. Now, obviously, you know, we can use the ones around here that Flight Test has. But, you know, for me at home, just mm-hmm. to grab and go out and do a little FPV because it's not super high on my list. I don't do it every day or anything like that. So I want to order a set of these and try them out, and I'd like you to test them out. Maybe we'll do a review on there, but I think it's awesome for the price point. I don't think you're going to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing, I'm really excited about this because it's on my list. I was going to give Bixler for plane reviews, is they actually have in their hands the new Park Zone Sukhoi.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been eyeballing this, and we've been watching the videos on it and everything, and I don't think, the last I looked, it was sometime in July that this thing was coming out, I believe. So they're working on it. They got it all together. Haven't flown it yet. I might even take a picture and post it out.
Yeah.
Post it out there. So that's sitting on the bench, and we got to feel it and touch it and check it out, and it is beautiful.
That's
in person.
Nice.
Love the
yeah.
color. I love the size of it. It looks impressive, so I'm excited to fly that thing. So I think that's about it I have for that. You got anything else you wanted to add or anything?
No? No, I do not.
All right. Well, hey, now we're going to get to the meat and potatoes here. Now we're getting into something I'm excited to really talk about. I've been excited about this plane for quite a while, and I finally got it in my hands a little bit later. I wanted to do this on the last podcast, but we just had a couple flights on it, and I wanted to do this thing some justice. So now we are going to talk about the new Park Zone Sport Cub. And in my hands and what I got was the bind and fly version. Now, they also make a plug and fly, but in my opinion, if you got any kind of Spectrum radio, I don't understand why you wouldn't buy the bind and fly. Price point. Now, the bind and fly is running about $219. The plug and play is running $279. But you're getting a $100 AS3X receiver in there.
Right.
So I've seen it. The price is as low. I actually only paid like $180 for this one for the bind and fly. So they're cheaper out there. And that was at the local hobby shop. So let's get into the Sport Cub. I'll tell you what. Let's run through a little bit of the overview and some of the specs on this thing, and we'll kind of touch on some stuff as I'm going through here. The biggest thing too, you know, obviously it comes with the new DSMX. Why can't I say that? DSMX receiver with the AS3X, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. It's got the, I'm going to say old and reliable, it's got the 480 size 960 kV brushless outrunner. Now, why I say old and reliable, this is kind of the motor that's been in the staple of Park Zone planes for a long time. It's in the T28 Trojan, it's in the Mustang that they have. It's been in, what's their water plane, the Icon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been around for a long time. Now, they have made some changes to it. It used to be a plastic back on that motor, and I know they've changed it to a metal can, so it should be quite a bit more sturdy. Because I even in a couple of my planes, I've had the screws strip out of the back.
Oh, yeah.
So the can and everything, I believe, is new. But the motor's been around for a long time. I've actually had those. I think I actually have a couple of them motors that are 6 and 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Still flying them. No problems. Same thing with the ESC. It comes with the 18-amp brushless ESC. Again, same one that's like in the P51. It's been around for a long time. Never had any problems with it. It does come with the aileron, elevator, and rudder servos installed. It has a Z-foam construction. It's got big Tundra tires on it. Now, I love the looks of these tires, and in case you guys don't know, I also have the large-scale Carbon Cub, which also has the same type of wheels on this thing. Now, here's my problem, and I think you agree with me, Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
They look fantastic, even to kind of feel them and touch them and everything. They're phenomenal, but my problem is, I tried, it's not like I went out and did like a couple landings, and I had the same problem with the Big Cub. I cannot get a smooth landing on pavement with the tires. They just want to hit and bounce, and then they end up ground looping. And I tried and tried and tried. Now, if you have dirt, rocks, gravel, anything like that, short grass, I have no problem. They work great. I was actually landing in better in the big, rocky, bumpy ground across the road than I was in the parking lot. So that's one thing about the tires. They look great. They don't work real well on any kind of hard surface.
I think it's because they're so hard that when they hit the blacktop, they just bounce.
Yeah.
There's no soft. There's no give to them. It's just too hard.
Right.
So you need something that's a little bit softer that has a little bit more give to it when you touch down so it doesn't bounce so hard.
And also the... it has some little plastic fairings, and you've probably seen them. They just clip right onto the wire landing gear. Now, I was bouncing so bad, and it was like shaking, you know, from bouncing on trying to land on the hard surface that it actually broke one of the fairings. Never crashed it or anything like that, but it actually broke one of the fairings, and I had to, you know, put it back on, glue it back on. So, you guys out there, you know, just a little advice. If you can land it on pavement... Oh, yeah, he's got a picture of me nosing over in the grass. Thanks, Wayne.
Anytime, bud.
So just something simple to keep in mind. You might, if you want to try it, fine. I'm just giving you a little warning. Also, a lot of these Park Zone planes and even some of the E-Flight stuff, they're all kind of going to these leading-edge Vortex generators, which I think is phenomenal. Now, this is my weird thinking. I'm way out in left field sometimes, but I had a thought the other day. Wayne, as you know, we did a lot of landings with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you some more little issues that we had with flaps. I mean, nothing major, but I'm wondering, and I'm sure some kind of aeronautical engineer will tell me I'm full of crap, but I noticed with this plane that I don't notice with, say, the Beaver. And again, I'm kind of comparing this plane a lot to the Beaver, and I also kind of compare it to the Fun Cub. That's two of the bigger kind of planes that I fly that are very comparable to this. So I'm just giving you a heads up, you know, what I'm comparing it to. Okay, now, coming in for a landing, this plane slows down unbelievable. I mean, just to the point where it will almost stop. But I'm finding is... If you have no wind and you're bringing this thing in and it's really, really starting to slow down and the Vortex generators are doing what they're supposed to do and keeping that airflow over the main wing, that it comes to the point where the elevator seemed to be non-existent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where I could just pull back or do whatever I want with that and it's beyond, you know, airspeed to where that elevator is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I did up the or change the linkage a little bit to get some more throw on it, and it did seem to help a little bit. But if you're just doing general landings, you know, slowing the thing down even to a walking pace, you will have no problems. But what I was trying to do is really see how slow I could get this thing to come in. And again, if you got any kind of wind, even 5 mile an hour, the thing will basically park itself right on the ground. So I only found that in like zero wind, you know, situations. Again, that could be just me being a complete idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's what I felt with that. Also the cool thing, moving along here, it's designed to accept the Hobby Zone Super Cub float set, which is great, which I don't have and didn't even get into that. Has the optional flap servo. It is sold separately. I got a million of those things laying around from all my other crashed Park Zone E-Flight airplanes, so I grabbed one of them. It goes in very easy. Hook up the flap linkage and you're off. The other thing I do like, it has a very large, easy access battery hatch.
Yes.
And that is fantastic. And actually included in the Bind and Fly comes with just a 3-cell 1300. Now, I didn't even run that battery, so I honestly couldn't tell you. I think in the book it says it'll run around 6-7 minutes. Mm-hmm. I started off with 1800 milliamp batteries, and geez, we were probably going 15 minutes.
Yeah, we were going
I would
for
say,
a while.
Mm-hmm. No problem. And it has plenty of room, and by the time I did my little upgrade, which I was talking, well, we'll talk about later, I had 2200s in there and still had room in there, with no problems with a CG. So, you know, that's fantastic that they give you enough room. The Bind and Fly does come with their newer style plug-in 3-cell charger. You know, goes in yep. your cigarette lighter and just plugs the balance port in. So, I think what you're getting, you know, with the Bind and Fly package, no matter what, even like a lot of people complain that, you know, well, we got batteries and we mm-hmm. got chargers or whatever. But I'm telling you what, yeah. how many times too,
you can't
do
have
I
too many?
Yeah, I just throw that charger or something in the car or whatever.
Right.
So, okay, now let's see. Let's skip that part. Let's go over to the specs here a little bit. I wanted to talk about that. Now, they're showing that this is a for the experience level, it's an intermediate, which I think I'll agree with that. The flying weight, here's the cool thing. The flying weight on this thing is only 33.3 ounces, which is quite a bit lighter than, like, say, the Beaver. It is a smaller wingspan, but it is a lot lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did notice with the AS3X, though, flying it in wind, it's so smooth. The Beavers definitely gets bounced around, you know, as big as they are and the big wingspan they have, they bounce around, which sometimes I think is kind of fun to fly anyway, you know, when they bounce around. But the Sport Cub was really smooth in the wind, really smooth. Let's see. The length, 34 inches. Comes stock with the 9x6 prop. Again, it looks like the same prop that came on the Park Zone P51 Mustang. I didn't see anything different on that. Again, 18-amp brushless ESC. Now, the wingspan is only 51 inches. Now, when I first seen the plane, where did we first see that? Oh, Toledo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was the first time we've
right.
seen it. I was a little disappointed in the size.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, 51, it's a kind of a little small. And even when I got it, and the first time we kind of flew it, and then I look at the Beaver, and I look at the Fun Cub, and I was like, it's a little small. I wish it was a little bigger. But I've been throwing that thing in the car.
Yes.
Like every time we
right.
went out, excuse me, I just chuck it in the car. You know, the Beaver, I think it's got a 60-inch wingspan. I think mm-hmm. barely fits in the back of my, you know, of the truck with the mm-hmm. wing on. And the wing on the Beaver, you can take it off, but it would be a complete
nightmare.
Not a
good idea.
So with this being 51 inches, it really fits. Whether you got a truck or a hatchback or whatever, it's so easy just to throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually learned to love the size of it.
Yeah.
And again, with the AS3X, you know, flying in the wind, it's really not a problem. So now let's we'll move along a little bit, and then we'll talk about the assembly a little bit, and then we'll get into the looks, quality, flight characteristics. Yeah, I cannot talk, Twain. I just cannot talk tonight. Flight characteristics.
There you
okay.
go.
Now the assembly, it's general Park Zone stuff. It's pretty easy. I think it took me about an hour. You're going to throw the landing gear on with some screws, the wheels, elevator, rudder, the wing. Now, if anybody had the Park Zone Stinson, it's very similar wing design. It's got a new bolt-on system, though, that I actually kind of like. But if you do the flaps, same as the rest of the Park Zone planes or like the Warbirds, you got to cut the little tabs out of the flaps. You can hot glue or tape the servo in, hook up the linkage. It's very easy. And then put the wing in, and it has a plastic wing saddle that goes all the way over the top of the wing, and it's got four nice bolts that actually go into brass threads.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing plastic. You know, if you do want to take the wing on and off, I actually took it off 3 or 4 times when I was doing my modification. Comes off pretty simple. Four bolts on the top, and you can take the two little screws out of the side of the fuselage from the struts. You're good. Got to throw the vortex generators on there. And let's see, I'm looking at the book here, and that's really basically about it. It's pretty much ready to go. It took me about an hour. Nothing too hard that I found. Now, the other thing I will say that was very nice, when I got the Big Carbon Cub, in the manual, they forgot to label the screws and tell you which screws went where. And luckily, Matt Andren from Horizon Hobby got on RC groups and labeled each screw and identified it and measured it and let everybody know. So now I think they kind of learned their lesson. So the screws were in packages, all marked, labeled A, B, and C. So in the manual, it tells you right here, bag A, 2.5 by 10 millimeter, there's four of them. Mm-hmm. So the screws are marked very well in this manual. So
no mistaking them there.
You will never have any problem. So the assembly was very straightforward. Again, it's typical Park Zone, pretty simple, I think, for anybody that's got any kind of flying experience, and I had no problems. So what about what are your thoughts on the looks and the quality of it? What do you think?
Oh, I think it's sharp-looking plane.
Yeah? You like the looks of it,
yep.
The color and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about quality? You think it was pretty good?
I like the Park Zone stuff.
You like the Park Zone stuff? Yeah.
Yep.
I did like the looks. Now, again, you know, I've been comparing it to the Beaver. The Beaver is very scale compared to this. I mean, it's got the windows in it. It's got the rivets, the corrugated control surfaces, the lights. Very detailed.
That's my baby girl there, though. I like my Beaver.
Right.
So.
But for the Park Zone, again, though, if it's sitting on the ground and it's 5 feet away from you, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really does. I like the color scheme that they picked. I actually kind of put a sticker on there. It shows the little guy, which I didn't think much of until you shot the pictures and sent them to me. And seeing like that shadow of the guy inside the cockpit as you're zooming by, you know, I thought that was pretty good. Quality, again, standard Park Zone, really good quality. All Z foam, goes together well, good quality screws. Now, before I talk about the upgrade, I did kind of have to tear it apart a little bit to do my little upgrade. And what I found out was the bulkhead, motor mount, and everything is all kind of changed. It was very heavy duty. It's a thick type plastic, you know, that went over the whole bulkhead. A new style plastic motor mount that looked really beefy. And the thing that really surprised me was the whole front of that was basically completely just all foam. Mm-hmm. And it has one small hole in there where the ESC slid in. So I think if you nose this thing in, it's going to be pretty tough.
Right.
I didn't have any real crashes. I had some, you know, wings skidding across the ground a couple times here and there, but nothing major. But it looks to be a pretty well-built plane. I did botch quite a few landings. I didn't bend the gear, knock the wheels off or anything like that. So I think the quality is you know, up to par and standard as far as I think with the Park Zone stuff. Let's move on to the flight characteristics a little bit. I don't know. What do you think, Wayne? Comparing it to the Beaver, I thought it was, I'll tell you what, I'll compare it to the Fun Cub too. It's very on par. Again, stock, and we'll get into, you know, the modifications of what I did, but stock, when I first flew it, I was actually presently surprised how much power it did have for the size of the airplane, being the small 18-amp ESC and the small 9x6 prop, because like the Beaver and also the Fun Cub, I'm running a 12x6. So it's pretty small compared to that. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, it flew well and had plenty of power. Now, obviously, it didn't have unlimited vertical or anything like that.
Right.
But still, it would pull up quite a ways in a vertical, you know, go up vertical and no problem. Now, what I was going to do is, at first I was pretty happy with it, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to leave this stock. I like it. We flew it 4 or 5 times. I actually was really happy with it, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to leave it like this. I like it. Now, the problem was I went out late one evening. It was pretty windy, and I just wanted to do a couple quick flights on it in the wind. And Pat stopped over, and he happened to have his T-28 Trojan in it. Mm-hmm. And again, it's got the same motor, and everything, but it's running, you know, 30 amp ESC with a 9x5 by 7.5 prop. So he threw that up in the air real quick. Well, I found out real quick compared to that, no way. I mean, that Trojan just ate it alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, oh, man, now you know, I like it, but I want just a little bit more, you
right.
know. So other than that, stock-wise, though, you know, if you like to kind of fly scale, you're not looking for a lot of power, you're not looking for a lot of vertical or anything, and, you know, if you throw a 2200 battery in there stock, mm-hmm. I bet you could easily go 20 minutes on that.
It flew
thing.
Deliberately. I mean, it flew, now, like you said, you're not going to punch it, you're
right.
not going to do verticals,
right.
you're not, but it flew nice and solid.
Right.
And it was really good and solid. That's what I liked about it. As we're coming around, there was no surprises.
Exactly.
You know, it just flew,
right.
which is so nice.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
Especially since that was the first time I flew it.
Right. And I don't know if you noticed, too, like you could go from say a quarter throttle and just firewall it
right.
and it was so smooth from
yeah.
from anything you did with the throttle or anything
mm-hmm.
you did with the ailerons or whatever, it was very smooth.
Yep.
Very kind of on rails and again with the AS3X you
oh,
could
yeah.
put it wherever you wanted and it was just rock solid. So now after I got home, I got to thinking, you know, what I was going to do with this thing, and I got online, you know, I've been following it on RC groups a little bit, and the guys have been doing upgrades. It's very simple. First of all, if anybody has a T28, you know, obviously they have a 30 amp ESC in there, and it has the prop I just talked about. So my first thing was me, okay, fine, I got an E-Flight. Actually, I had a 40 amp ESC, but doesn't matter. So I thought, I'm going to throw the 40 amp ESC in there, and I'm going to throw the Trojan prop on there. Well, I found out, well, first of all, how I know about the bulkhead and everything was I thought this was going to be pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the wing off, you know, pull the cowl off, couple screws, throw it together, and 15 minutes I'd be done. Well, I found out pretty quick, you know, I got the wing off fairly quick and everything, that, you know, that hole, that hole going through that, the, you know, the front bulkhead there, it was small and tight.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally had to unbolt the motor, pull the motor out, unplug the wires, stuff the 40 amp ESC through the little hole, pull the wires through, plug them in, mash the wires back in the hole while I'm trying to stuff the motor in there, you know, and bolt it back in. It really wasn't that bad. I kind
right.
of make it worse than it sounds.
Yeah.
It did take me a lot longer than I thought, but once I put it back together, everything was fine. Now, the other thing I found out was on the, I can't think of what's that, on the Colette, on the front, stock, it actually has a weight on the stock
mm-hmm.
Colette,
yeah.
so it adds a little bit of nose weight, so it keeps that CG in line, I'm guessing, for, you know, for the battery ranges, which is a good idea. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought, what am I going to do here, because the Trojan prop's quite a bit bigger in diameter, and I have a million different size Colettes, and do you think I could find one to fit that? I couldn't find not one. So, but what I did find out was I used the stock Colette, kept the weight on there, and got a master air screw 10x8 prop. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Slid right on there.
Fit
no
perfectly.
Problem.
That thing was sharp.
And I actually pulled it off. Here's a funny thing. I pulled it off of another upgraded Park Zone plane that I had hanging on the wall, and I thought, you know what? That's an upgraded one. We'll just pull the prop off of that. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it went right on there. So, guys out there, if you're thinking you want to upgrade this, you know, throw a 30 or 40 amp ESC in there, get a master air screw 10x8, slap it on her. And the cool thing was it actually even the nose cone fit
right,
right back on. So, to look at it, it looks stock,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we got that all set up. Before I forget, before we talk about the flight characteristics, the other thing I wanted to talk about real quick was the flaps. Now, again, that's an option. It's pretty simple. You get their, let me think of what it is. It's a PKZ 1090 Park Zone servo, and then you do need a small, like a 4-inch servo extension to plug in the receiver to get it to reach. But it's very simple. Like I said, you either hot glue it in or get some servo tape, set it in there, put the linkage together. It's pretty self-explanatory and pretty easy to set up. Now, the thing I noticed, and I think, you know, the few times you flew it too, Wayne, it had a very kind of abrupt balloon tendency dropping the flaps. Now, initially, I have it set up on a DX8, so you can slow the flaps down. Now, I just want to give a fair warning. If there's anybody out there flying this on a non-computer radio that can't slow, you know, unless you get a servo slower, that's an option. You could do something like that. The thing has a good tendency to balloon when you drop them flaps. And I don't care if it was, I was running on a three-position switch right off the manual. 12 millimeters was the first and 25 for full down. Even on the 12 millimeter, this thing, and, sorry about that. Thought I had my phone on vibrate, and it's making all kinds of noise. All right, turn that off. Okay, so I noticed right off the bat, as soon as we hit the switch, this thing just shot straight up in the air. And then same thing when we went down the full. So I did some computer programming, and we tried some different things. I tried some 15% down elevator, and then we ended up going 20, 30, all the way up to 40% down elevator on the DX8. Now, what really seemed to help is I put a 2 or 2.5 second delay on the flaps. Because even on the first notch, that thing would really seem to balloon up. So my initial setting, again, this is just me. You can start with this. You know, you could try that. I think I'm running 20% down elevator on the first notch with a 2.5 second delay. And then 30% down elevator. Same delay on that, and that really seemed to help quite a bit, you know, coming in for a landing. 40 actually worked real good on the ballooning, but the problem was if you cut the power all the way, you're coming in on final. We really wanted to drop the nose down a little too much. I didn't really like that. So 20 and 30% is what I'm running on there, and it seemed to work really well. So that's what we're sticking with. Oh, hey man, I can't believe I almost forgot this. One of the other things very important on this airplane, has the new AR636 6-channel AS3X sport receiver, and this just came out, and I'm kind of excited this receiver came in this plane. I think the biggest thing with this new receiver is, if you remember the old receiver that they had, to program it or do anything with it, you had to play around with the radio. And me personally, technically, it was just a pain in the butt. The cool thing about this receiver now is you can get a plug for your Android phone or your iPhone or the iPad, or now it has a USB 2 that you can still hook up to your computer and do everything through your phone or iPad or computer right there. Even if you're out on the field and you got it set up and you wanted to change some things, you plug it right in, right through your phone. They have the free app. I have it downloaded on my phone and my iPad, and I'll go through a little bit of it, but that is exciting. You know, for the money, between the plug and play and the bind and fly, if you're running a Spectrum radio, I don't see why you wouldn't buy it for the price. So you can't beat it. Even if you don't, I think I would buy it and turn around and sell the receiver, because you could probably make money on it. But let me brief over some of the things here. Obviously, it's got the AS3X technology, the 3-axis stabilization, 3 gyro modes, allows the customization of the gyro performance for the field, the aircraft. Like I said, it's programmable from mobile devices, iOS and Android, as well as PCs. And it's easy to do if you're at home or even at the field. You can select the AS3X mode. You can have off, conventional rate, heading hold. Now, here's something that's new, I believe. You can activate flaperon, dual aileron, delta elevon, V-tail, or dual elevator mixing. The other cool thing that they added too, you can take advantage of the servo setup options like balancing, travel adjust, absolute limits, reversing, and more. So this thing, I think it's amazing. Let me zoom over here to the app, and I'll try to go through a little bit for you. I played around with it. I haven't actually changed anything with it, but you can actually go through the app and look at it. You can go set it up on all 3 flight modes, your rate of gains for roll, pitch, and yaw, heading gains, priority, dual rate, expo. If you go into the AS3X settings, Again, everything's right there, your expo, dual rate, gain, mixing. When you go into your setup, what's really cool is, and I haven't dove real deep into it, I'm not really sure how many airplanes this thing will hold. I guess I should check that out. But you can go in, you can name them, take a photograph of it, put it in there, and then it starts out with your receiver orientation, your flight mode switch, what switch you're going to be on, goes into aircraft type, surface setup. And again, it's all just right in front of you. The fail safe, port assignment. And the cool thing is, say you and your buddy have the same plane and you get the receiver in there and you've been playing around with settings and he's been playing around with settings and you feel you found something you like and you got it set up, you can share it via email and he can just download it and put it right in his plane. Just for instance, let me see, I go on aircraft type and then, okay, I'm going to go into surface setup. And it shows a picture of the airplane, it shows your ailerons, shows your tail, and you actually just look and select exactly what you have, and it just goes step by step by step. And the cool thing is, if you got a question or you're not really sure what it's asking, there's just a little question mark right there, you click on it and it'll show you and explain exactly what it's asking for or what, you know, maybe what you're looking for. It's very simple. I was very surprised and to see what you could do with the app. I didn't think you'd be able to do that much, especially like, you know, out on the field. But basically anything, any kind of setup you want to do, you can do through the app. So I think that's really exciting and people are really going to enjoy that. So almost forgot to throw that out there. So even if, you know, you're interested in the receiver, go check out their website and download the app for free and just play around with it. I think you'll be surprisingly impressed with it. Okay. Okay, now back to the flight characteristics with the upgrade. Now, you were out there, was it Sunday, right?
Yeah. Right.
So what was your, when you seen it fly stock now, and then you seen it for the first time, and that was my first time flying it with the upgrade. What did you see different, or what was your opinion of that?
Like I was saying, the first time when we flew it, is like I said, it was just very deliberate. It was just go. There was no surprises. But when you put the upgrade in it, it was very responsive. I mean, it would just go. There was no lag. When you said go, it said okay and went. I liked it. I mean, it seemed like it just went a whole lot smoother, a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. Before it seemed just a hair labored, not a lot,
yeah.
just a tinge.
Right.
But once you did this, it was like you opened up the carbs and let all the air in and it's going
to
go.
Right. And it didn't, I have to agree with you. It was nice to have that, just that little bit of power in reserve,
yeah.
You know, to kind of
mm-hmm.
do what you want to do, even for takeoffs and everything, just, you know, 10 degrees down of flaps, you know, and fire, and that thing was taken off, you know, within a couple feet.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fun. It's
yeah.
always kind of fun to play with that a little bit.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed, you know, well, obviously because you have more speed, but the thing was really, I don't know how to put it, really kind of felt more like it was on a rail when
mm-hmm.
it was flying. It seemed a little bit more precise with just that, you know, that little bit of extra power and probably that little bit of extra speed, you know, with the air going over the air surfaces. But it was a lot, for me, it was a lot more fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether you're doing, you know, going vertical and doing stall turns or anything like that, or you could go inverted and go from inverted into vertical or something like that. It just seemed to open up the broad range of it a little bit. Actually, the thing was even doing knife edge fairly well, better than I expected. You know, obviously you got to hold quite a bit of aileron in there to hold it there. But with the extra power, man, you could just knife edge that thing around, you know, pretty easy.
I was liking when you were pulling vertical, though, when you were flying down toward the woods and you pulled it back and it just goes straight up.
Yeah,
there.
Just straight
that
up.
That looks sharp.
Right. And again, even with that, you know, it's not a huge upgrade. You know, you're really just a little bit bigger prop, same motor and everything. And still, I think we were, you know, we flew a good 10 minutes. Now, I didn't check the total time of what we were running on, 2,200, but still 10 minutes.
You were buzzing, though. You did a lot of inverted and everything. So.
Right. So highly suggest the upgrade. It's very simple, very easy, and I think you guys would really enjoy it. So basically that's our kind of our review on the plane. We really enjoyed it. So what do you think on, I'd say quality from 1 out of 10, I'm gonna go with probably an 8, maybe mm-hmm. close to a 9 with the quality.
Yep.
Typical Park Zone again, good quality.
Looks, my only beef is the tires.
Yes, you know what? That's a good point. The tires are, I would say, probably the only real downfall, yeah. especially for somebody if that's all they have.
Right.
You know, is a hard surface to land on. I think they're going to have a little bit of trouble. Again, mm-hmm. that could be me. You yeah. know, but I had it with the Carbon Cub too. Same thing. The first time we flew that thing, I was bouncing all over off the pavement. I thought, what is wrong with me? So, yeah, good point. The tires are something that could cause a little bit of problems. Looks, I love the looks of it and everything, but I'm going to go with a 7, I think, out of 10, just for the fact that it doesn't have a lot of scale detail in it. Mm-hmm. It looks great. If you're 5 feet away, the thing looks phenomenal, you know, but when I look at my Beaver and I see the, you know, the rivets and the corrugated and the windows yeah. and, you know, so I'm going to give it a 7. Flight characteristics, really, I don't think you're going to really, you know, again, it's a high wing trainer. It's not a 3D plane.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're not going to.
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Know? It is what it is. And again, we're comparing it to the other high wing trainers that we fly. Right. So, you know, flight characteristics, though, I'm going to give it a 9 because with the AS3X yeah. in there, being as light as it is and compact and everything, you know, we were flying out there in 12 mile an hour winds and you didn't even know it was
oh,
there.
No, no.
It was just on was rails. So, you know, with everything else they have on it, with the flaps, the Vortex generators, it's easily upgradable. It really is a good. Now, again, price point, I think, with everything you're getting is really good. You know,
oh,
if you
yeah.
can go out and you buy the Bind and Fly with everything in there for $180 for
yep.
what you're getting, I think that is a really good deal for what you're getting. So what do you think? Overall, what would you rate this plane overall on a scale of 10?
I'm pretty much the same as you are. I can't really see anything else that I would change.
It didn't do anything bad.
No. Oh, no. And you can't beat the price. It's like,
yeah.
come on. I mean.
I have to give it up to Horizon.
They've
They've seemed to drop their prices, you know, a little bit. Cause
they're killing me.
Yeah, I know.
They keep coming out with this stuff.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest complaints online.
Right.
Our wives are going to be killing us. It's
yeah.
like, oh, how do you choose?
Right, right. You know, it seems like when these first come out, you were paying, you know, $220, $250. I think the Vision Air, yeah. when it first came out, was like $299, something like that. And now, you know, the prices seem to be coming down on this stuff. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
And with the AS3X, I think a lot more other companies are going to jump on board with this mm-hmm. a little bit. And
I'm going to have to buy a hangar just to put all my planes in.
It really is ridiculous. But, hey, that's kind of our little review of our Sport Cub. We hope you enjoy it. We love doing these reviews. You know, for a long time, you know, I'd see some reviews or I'd read them online. And there was always other questions and stuff I wanted to know. And again, guys, what we're going to do in the future, we're going to do quite more of these. So I'll try to tweet it out or even might be a better idea to get on Facebook and I'll post it when we're going to record or whatever. So that way you can send us your questions. We can answer your questions and we can get more in depth into these things. Cause if anybody's out there like me, I want to, you know, I just don't want to know, yeah, we took it out of the box. It went together easy. We charged the battery, did some circuits, you know, and yeah, it's a great airplane. That's, you know, I want to get in depth in this thing. Well, you know, what's this, what's that, how did it go together? You know, what can you do to upgrade it? What worked? What didn't, you know, I want to get deeper into these, you know, and answer some questions for you guys. So I love to do them. And I think Wayne, he likes to fly all the newer mm-hmm. stuff too and
oh, yeah.
see what's out there and what's different. And so we love it. We hope to do a lot more of these. We hope you enjoy. If you did, let me know if you like us doing these. And again, I do get some emails on stuff you guys want to see. The only thing I can really do is give them to Bixler. And hopefully he'll get an order in for us. But I do have a huge list. I'm actually still working on it now. So once I get it complete, I'll file it off to Bixler. And he'll probably go down like, man, you know,
yeah.
he's going to hit me with a hammer or something when he sees a list. But hopefully we're going to get some of this stuff in and we can get these reviews in there. The other thing I think we're going to start working on, I got some stuff in the works too. We're going to do some phone interviews. I know Austin just talked to Matt Andron from Horizon Hobby, and I think he's agreed to come on and do the After Hours podcast. So I need to get a hold of him and get something set up. So that should be fun. But other than that, I think that's about it. Again, if you have any questions, any problems, anything, I don't care, constructive criticism, your dog died and you want to talk to me or whatever you want, doesn't matter to me. Shoot me an email. I love to answer you guys and talk to you guys. Hit me up on Twitter at FT After Hours. I just love it. Hanging out, flying, enjoying it, and I think that's about it. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, guys, hope you enjoyed it. I've been rattling and rattling and rattling.
That's what you do best.
Holy cow. I apologize if you guys are. All right. Well, we won't hold you guys up anymore. We're going to get out of here. We're at work all day, and I know I'm getting a little tired and a little thirsty and
I'm hungry.
And we're going to get out of your hair. So thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.